Well, friends, we're at our concluding session, and we're going to start on the top of page 69, Roman numeral number 5, and we're dealing with the biblical proofs for Baha'u'llah as the return of Christ. Go ahead, David.
Proof of the fruits of the Spirit that are demonstrated in the life of Baha'u'llah and created in his followers by his words and teachings. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? So every sound tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears evil fruit. A sound tree cannot bear evil fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will know them by their fruits. This is in the 7th chapter of Matthew. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
You know, I would just comment there, that's Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that adds up to 9, and there are 9 fruits of the Spirit, which is one way of helping you remember this, or I find it useful. Anyway, go ahead, David.
It's all a coincidence.
Yes.
only a good prophet can bestow the fruit of the Spirit, and a bad prophet can only bestow evil fruit, according to the testimony of Jesus the Christ.
Okay, so dear friends, according to Jesus himself, you know a true prophet because he engenders, he teaches the fruits of the Spirit, and his own life exhibits the fruits of the Spirit. All right, there's a proof. Now, let's read ahead.
The sinless, self-sacrificing life of suffering of Baha'u'llah has been referred to above in 4. Baha'u'llah, who, during his life, bore innumerable trials and persecutions in order to show forth to the world of mankind the virtues of the world of divinity.
Now, what are virtues of the world of divinity in biblical terms? Fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit. Okay?
Making it possible for you to realize the supremacy of the Spirit. And this is from Paris Talks.
Okay, now we're going to... Here's Abdu'l-Bahá again in B on page 69.
From the promulgation of universal peace, the proof of the validity of a manifestation of God is the penetration and potency of his word, the cultivation of heavenly attributes in the hearts and lives of his followers.
Okay, what's cultivation of heavenly attributes? What are heavenly attributes in biblical terms? Fruits of the Spirit. Okay, David, you want to... I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
And the bestowal of divine education upon the world of humanity. This is absolute proof.
Okay, so according to Abdu'l-Bahá, what is absolute proof? The fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit in the lives of the followers. And we even have them numbered, enumerated, clearly spelled out by Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And what have we heard me say? Probably almost getting to the point of too much. One thing and only one thing. Well, unfailingly and alone. What are we talking about? What is that one thing and only one thing? Fruits of the Spirit. Do you see how consistent the Word of God is? It is the spiritual transformation of the individual lives that is absolute proof, according to Abdu'l-Bahá. This is absolute proof. The proof of the validity of a manifestation of God is the penetration and potency of His Word. The cultivation of heavenly attributes in the hearts and lives of the followers. Why is it that the Spirit in which we teach is the most important and effective tool we have to teach with? Because we teach with the fruits of the Spirit. This is absolute proof. So our conservative literalist, fundamentalist fellow believers in Christ are all about believing the right things. But I believe in Jesus the Christ, Lord and Savior, resurrected on the third day. But what is absolute proof? Fruits of the Spirit. What is your life like? How do you conduct your affairs? Is your life organized around spiritual principles? What is the Baha'i community all about? What is the House of Justice bringing about? The organization of human affairs based on spiritual principles. Why? Because it brings the fruits of the Spirit. That's the great gift of religion, among other things, knowing your Lord and so forth. But the absolute proof is the fruits of the Spirit. Now, my dear fellow Baha'is, my fellow believers in Christ, my fellow believers in Baha'u'llah and in Zoroaster and so on. I have one Persian friend who goes around, greets me each time on the email. Dear, my fellow believer in Zoroaster, how are you doing today? Okay. All right. Now, David, let's go ahead. I'm going to get off on a sidetrack here.
The Word of God brings faith in Romans chapter 10, rebirth in Peter, 1 Peter, and everlasting life in the 5th chapter of John. And as a Baha'i, and this is your personal testimony, the words of Baha'u'llah have brought me faith, rebirth, everlasting life, and the fruits of the Spirit.
So if Baha'u'llah is a true prophet, is the return of Christ, that should be recognizable. It is useful to give this testimony as believers in Baha'u'llah. Here it is. The fruits of the Spirit are in my life and in my Baha'i community. The Word of God, the words of Baha'u'llah, have brought me faith, rebirth, and the promise of everlasting life. Okay, well, let's look at this. I've given you some examples of a testimony you might make. You will improve upon this. Go ahead, David.
A deeper and closer faith and love of Christ through recognizing His return.
That is a powerful testimony that Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ. Through Baha'u'llah, I have a closer relationship with His Holiness, the Lord Jesus the Christ.
I have experienced an increase in joy of the Spirit in my deeper faith and love.
The way you conduct your affairs, the serenity of your faith, the joy of your faith, is a proof that is unassailable. If you get red in the face and you argue, are you serene? Are you confident in your faith? You're exhibiting all the other qualities than the fruits of the Spirit. When is it right to dispute? Never, if you are firm in the covenant. We read that from Abdu'l-Bahá. If you remain serene and confident, it is a proof unassailable. Go ahead, David.
And I have received peace in my heart in the knowledge of my salvation and deeper faith and love of the Lord.
So, sometimes a Christian will come to you and say, I'm so sorry, you're going to hell, you're going to burn for an eternity, and try to scare you. That's the sense of it. Try to scare you and worry you to death. If you remain serene and confident, I know what you're talking about. I believe in the Bible. I believe in Jesus the Christ. It's maddening, because you're not scared. You're not shaken. You are confident in your faith. And didn't Christ say it should be so?
Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and I'm still working on self-control, are continuing to come to me through the spiritual rebirth that the words of Baha'u'llah have inspired in me.
So are we all, David.
Therefore, the proof of the fruit of the Spirit is in my life.
That personal testimony again. Okay? Go ahead, David.
There are over 6 million Baha'is from every religious background who have come to know Christ or to know Him more completely through recognizing His return. Many from religions that rarely come to know Christ, the Buddhist, the Hindu, the Judaism, and who have received the fruits of the Spirit through a spiritual rebirth.
You know, dear friends, it's pretty tough for the Christian community to have converts in the Muslim world. Doesn't happen very often. It's pretty tough. I mean, like there's 13,000 Catholics, I think, in Iran. And the president of Iran has just been to see the Pope and to see if he can get more imports from things that the United States has embargoed. And there's 13,000 Catholics. And it's the same for the Hindus, converting Hindus to Christianity. It's difficult. But the Baha'i faith has grown very rapidly. And all of these Hindus have come to know Jesus through the teachings of Baha'u'llah. Right? Okay.
The surest test of Baha'u'llah from both the Bible and the Baha'i writings is for the Christian to examine the life of Baha'u'llah for the creation of the fruits of the Spirit in the lives of his followers and then apply these teachings to their own life through faith. This is absolute proof, according to Abdu'l-Bahá.
The House of Justice mentions in the promise of world peace, and they're quoting The Guardian, there is something immanent, means inherent, in the human heart that recognizes spiritual principle and resonates and responds to it. When you see someone taking care of a child, you immediately you admire what's going on, you want to assist. I mean, it's something that's in. When you see justice and you see someone standing up for justice, you immediately identify with that person. There's a resonation of the human heart when you see spiritual principle in action. So the House of Justice invites the world to look at the Baha'i community as a model for how to bring about world peace. If the Christian community can see in the Baha'i community those spiritual principles in place, operating, that proof resonates with the heart. Baha'u'llah goes through the Agon. He gives all these proofs of the manifestation. And then he says, once you have seen the sun and felt the warmth of the sun, you need no other proof. When you have the Spirit in your life, when you conduct your affairs with that Spirit, you need no other proof. So these proofs from the Scriptures, they are wonderful. They are powerful. But ultimately, again, friends, it's the proof of the Spirit. The writings of Baha'u'llah, when they are examined, are the sun. They spiritually heal you. The evidence is the Baha'i community and your own life. One thing and only one thing. All right. To move on here to page 72, we had a question earlier about where Baha'u'llah's name is mentioned in the Bible. That will sometimes be a question and a proof. Let's see. David, do you want to go ahead and just read the first couple of those? We're, again, on page 72. Yes, that's all well and good. But where is Baha'u'llah's name mentioned in the Bible? Okay.
For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, referenced in Matthew chapter 16. Baha'u'llah means the glory of the Father.
Okay. For the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man?
Jesus.
Jesus usually refers to himself as the Son of Man. I don't think he ever refers to himself as Son of God. But anyway, Son of Man shall come in the what? The glory of his Father. Glory of his Father. Glory of his Father. Baha'u'llah's name means glory of God, glory of Father, glory of the Lord. Okay.
With his angels. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. This is referenced from Isaiah chapter 35. Carmel is the mountain where Baha'u'llah walked with Abdu'l-Bahá to direct where the shrine of the Bab was to be built, and the plain of Sharon lies between Carmel and the prison where Baha'u'llah was banished in Akka.
It extends farther than that. It's all around the foot of Mount Carmel. Go ahead, Dave.
And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east, in Ezekiel chapter 43. Baha'u'llah arrived in Israel, vanished from the east. Also, the glory of the Lord appears 37 times in the Old Testament and 3 times in the New Testament.
Now, of course, I didn't read the entire Old Testament and New Testament to count up the number of times. I referred to my handy-dandy Strong's Concordance and looked up glory of the Lord. And that's how I came to those numbers. Okay? All right. Dear friends, let's see. Let's, in the interest of time, turn to our concluding page. And that's number 75. And this is a general summary of some of the points we've discussed. Again, I would just stress this is not the way or the only way to teach Christians. It is some organizing principles for your thought. And I am confident that you will improve upon everything here. You'll read the Agon for yourself and you'll improve upon everything. So please, David.
Key number one, the attitude and the spirit of a Baha'i teacher is the single most important an effective tool.
All right, I think we've reviewed that at some length, okay?
Key number two, avoid argument and establish points of agreement.
Always begin with a point of agreement.
Baha'is believe in Christ and the Bible. Baha'is and Christians have many similar beliefs and doctrines. And Baha'is are always eager to turn to the Bible to resolve apparent differences of understanding. As a Baha'i, I believe in the biblical explanation of whatever the subject is. Let us turn to the Bible and see what the Scripture says.
So, friends, I'm going to say that answer always works. Your willingness to turn to the Bible, your confidence that the Bible is the Word of God, your serenity and your assurity in turning to the Word of God is a proof of itself. It also gives you a little time to think. Okay? Number three.
Key number three. Teach Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ, as nothing makes sense to the Christians without this point.
Now, this is a little different, and it may not suit you. But I would say again and again and again, and we've heard discussion here this weekend from folks, David Lewis in particular, who have mentioned that it is very rare that you incur the wrath of the Christian community when you mention that Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ. It may not be appropriate, of course, not one size fits all. But I'm saying that in our teaching work, we have, to my review, have been so timid about this. And the unfortunate thing is, it makes everything else we have to say kind of irrelevant. But if you start by saying, as a Baha'i, I believe in Jesus the Christ, Lord and Savior, Lord of all being, Lord of the visible and invisible, I fearlessly assert the sonship and divinity of Jesus the Christ. Of course, I'm quoting this, with these writings we've just been through in this handbook. You have the instant attention of that Christian. You're talking the most heartfelt concerns that heart has. And I believe that Baha'u'llah is the return of Christ. The Christian is going to be interested in what you have to say, if only from the standpoint of proving you wrong. Wonderful. Wonderful. And if they're upset, so much the better. They're at step two of engaging a new idea. They've engaged the Word of God. That's wonderful. Let us turn to the Word of God and see what the proofs are in the Word of God for who is the return of Jesus the Christ. Prove me wrong. This is important to me. This is my soul. Please assist me. Let us look at the Word of God together. This is an exploration of the Word of God. That will leave a dialogue that will be profound for both of you. Right? Okay. Go ahead. Number three. Go ahead with number three.
Ask for the reasons that the Christian believes in Christ, and then state that these are the very same reasons you believe in Christ and Baha'u'llah, and invite the Christian to test the proofs of Baha'u'llah using the Holy Book.
So if you early on ask the fellow believer in Christ. Why is it that you believe in Jesus? That answer will tell you immediately where they're coming from. Are they conservative? Are they liberal? What are their heartfelt concerns? Instead of guessing at where their barriers are to recognizing Baha'u'llah, they're going to give them to you. They're going to tell you. So, why is it that you believe in Jesus the Christ? You may find there aren't very many reasons. Well, then you can unfold for them who Jesus the Christ was. And then lead them to Baha'u'llah. So, I'm just saying that's a very good way of knowing where the seeker is starting from. It's asking them, why are you a Christian? Why do you believe in Jesus the Christ? Very useful. Very, very useful.
And you might find it useful to point out that their objections to Baha'u'llah are no more biblical than those of the Jews were to Christ. Key number four. Interpret the Bible, often symbolically, to establish, first of all, that Baha'u'llah is not a false prophet, the Antichrist, or the devil.
Now, assume, you're going to be right 99% of the time. Assume there is a concern about false prophet, Antichrist, and the devil. I tell you, even the most liberal Christians have that concern somewhere. Somebody was just telling me the story of how they became a Baha'i today, and they were saying they were Catholic and didn't know very much about the Bible. Their main concern in investigating the faith that they prayed to be relieved of was not to be misled by a false prophet. Okay, so it's almost always there. Bring it up yourself early on, so the rest of what you have to say will have a hearing. Otherwise, the person in the background is thinking, you know, gee, this sounds good, but where's the trap? You know, where's the hook in this? I don't want to be hooked by a false prophet or an antichrist, okay, or the devil. Okay.
Discuss the scriptural proofs of Baha'u'llah as the return of Christ.
Be eager and enthusiastic. Didn't we read about Abdu'l-Bahá saying, you should cry out, here are my proofs. You should be enthusiastic to return, to go to the Bible and say, here are the proofs of Baha'u'llah. See for yourself.
That the objections to Baha'u'llah are no more biblical than those of the Jews were for Christ. That the Christians are obligated by their own writings to investigate Baha'u'llah and his claims. And the explanation of Christian doctrines that are based on literal interpretations that are consistent with the Baha'i writings.
An example would be original sin. It isn't in there. It just isn't in there. Okay.
It isn't in there.
So, if you, again, your knowledge of the Bible is that whatever objection being made to Baha'u'llah is exactly what the Jews were objecting to Christ on, that is a most powerful presentation of the truths of Baha'u'llah. It's the holy book. Okay. Number five.
Key number five, treat Christians as spiritual brothers and sisters who need to have the barriers removed to know that Baha'u'llah is the return of their Lord Christ.
This is an extremely important point. I would be happy to leave only two things with you. You might spend more time with the Agon. If this class inspires you to do that, it's a grand success. But the second thing is to teach from the point of removing barriers. The thinking might be, the organizing principle might be, where is this soul's barrier to recognizing Baha'u'llah? Instead of just dispensing information, the 12 principles and progressive revelation or whatever, instead of dispensing information early on, try to identify where is this person's barrier to knowing Baha'u'llah and teach there. Not get lost in all these doctrinal fussing and all that sort of thing. Go right to the proofs of who Baha'u'llah is. All else will become clear once you establish who Baha'u'llah is. If you try to start with everything else, you may never get to Baha'u'llah. All right. Number six.
Thank you. Speak from the mindset of Christianity as our religion also.
Remember, the Christian so often, most often, nearly always, is going to be about proving that you're not Christian. You don't believe in Christ like I do. You don't believe in the Bible like I do. you are not Christian. All of the attacks in the Christian bookstores, they're all attacking the Baha'i faith as anti-Christian. Didn't we read that? Kingdom of the Cult. If we can establish from the originating the point of this departure, the original discussion, I am a Christian. This is my religion too. I don't cede that ground. I am a Christian. Heartfelt. Now we can have a dialogue. We can have a discussion. That is a crucially important organizing concept. Baha'is say we accept all the religions. What? How is it that we don't teach like that? Okay.
Key number 7, realize that most Christians are not really listening until you refer to the Bible as the bridge between scriptural Christianity and our Baha'i beliefs.
No matter how much the exaltation of our faith, didn't we read that early on? The no other recourse quote. Instead of using my words, perhaps we can use those of Abdu'l-Bahá. If, for example, a spiritually learned Baha'i is conducting a debate with a Christian and he knows nothing of the glorious melodies of the Gospel, he will, no matter how much he imparts of the Baha'i writings and its truths, be unable to convince the Christian, and his words will fall on deaf ears. Should, however, the Christian observe that the Baha'i is better versed in the fundamentals of Christianity than the Christian priests themselves, and understands the purport of the scriptures better than they, he will gladly accept the Baha'i's arguments, and he would have indeed no other recourse. We must adapt the presentation of the faith to where the Christian is, the fellow believer in Christ. That's what our writings say. It's not by our enthusiasm of our love of the faith. That's wonderful. It is necessary. It is not sufficient.
Could you give a reference for that, please?
It's on page... it's on page 10. It's Secret of Divine Civilization.
We also, key number 8, we want to avoid the use of Baha'i jargon. My Christian friend, the UHJ, is going to come visit us on the LSA, and we lose them. It's real easy to lose them with all of our designations.
And again, when we say world order, a new world order, my goodness, most Baha'is don't even have a concept of what inflammatory language, that's incendiary language. Okay.
Also, key number 9, we want to anticipate and offer early on to relieve the fear of the Christians regarding false prophets, devils, Satan, etc. Key number 10, we want to learn how to redirect questions on doctrinal issues to the proofs of Baha'u'llah.
So friends, we don't want to spend a lot of time discussing the baptism or some such thing. As quickly as possible, we want to get to who is Baha'u'llah. If we see teaching as a mystical process, mentioning the name Baha'u'llah, it has an effect. Our writings say so. Dear friends, the House of Justice has said that there is a growing receptivity in North America. The receptivity to the teaching work here is like no other place in the world. Dear friends, the time is right. I hope you have the confidence that we have been given the tools. We are promised the divine confirmations. It is for us to have a sense of vision, to have a sense of commitment, to see what is in our hearts, to take the agon to our fellow believers in Christ.